Hello, all you tabletop gamers out there. This is Joe with Cold Country Wargaming again, bringing you a new episode this week. This episode's going to be following along the lines of Age of Sigmar, I think. We've done, I think, one or two episodes now, and they've been pretty much 40K related, so I want to get some Age of Sigmar in there, too. Joining me this week is Rob.
Hello.
And a good friend of ours, John.
Hello.
And they've both been playing a bit of Age of Sigmar and Tabletop Simulator. I know things are crazy out there right now with COVID and whatnot, so we haven't been able to play much in person, but Tabletop Simulator has been kind of filling in the gap, so these two are pretty much going to lay down what they've been working on and kind of their plans for Age of Sigmar at Nova. I know, John, you said you were planning on going to Nova, maybe?
Yeah, I'm still looking. Looking to get a ticket, so I think I'm going to go to it, so...
All right, cool. Yeah, I know you're saying your schedule just opened up, so that's pretty cool if you can make it down there. Hopefully it still goes on. I know June 15th, they've kind of made a deadline for if they're going to end up having it or not. They'll be making a final call pretty soon, so I'll be curious to see if it still goes. If it goes on, I'll be going. I'll be bringing my slaves to darkness. Rob, you're actually going to be doing 30K, right?
Yeah, I'm in the team doubles for Horus Heresy. And I'm not sure, I mean, that sells out very quick just because it's kind of niche and there's not so many spots. I wanted to do the 2,500, no, 3,000 or 2,500 match, but it sold out so quick and the site crashed. So I can only really get in on the doubles. Zone Mortal is sold out. So basically the doubles. And I'm slinging around friendly games too.
All right, cool. Yeah, so... We'll all be down there doing something or the other. I know me and John will be down there for AOS. I know you guys have been playing a lot lately. What have you guys been kind of fooling around with? I know you got quite a few games under your belt.
Yeah, I mean, John and I have been playing weekly for the past month at least or so. And just because we played against each other in person a few times. And John has a couple armies and you wanted to get... What do you have, John?
Oh, I got Slaaneth, I got Big Waw, Iron Jaws, I got some Bone Reapers. My first army back in Warhammer Fantasy Battle was Seraphon, Lizardmen back then, so I might pick up and finish painting the rest of those models and bring those to the table soon, too.
Any love for your Gloom Spike coming up, you think?
I forgot about those guys.
That's the one that popped out to me, your trolls.
Yeah, I love the trolls. I love the Tragas, and I wanted to go with a small model count. And also have Beast Call Raiders, too. Jeez, I have too many models. But
you're forgetting about entire armies.
I have a whole Wood Elf army from 7th from the Warhammer Fantasy Battle, too, with dwarves, too, in there. But those would have to be some Sigmar at this point. Tragas, they're interesting. They're really fun to play with. They have a lot of, you know, nice mixing into it. I just could not get a good kind of competitive army to the table just because of the model count. And also, you know, they don't have the Maw tribes, you know, 10, you know, a big monster equals 10 models, you know, so... Yeah. Trying to run a unit of six, two units of six rock guts, two units of three of Fellwater Tragas, maybe the Hag and the Dankhold, just really isn't enough to hold objectives in the game, and that's what AOS is about. So.
As killy as your Mangus Wig, to this day, I think you have the record, well, you have the award for being the only person to kill 30 Hearthguard Berserkers with a bunch of trolls and a bunch of other units. You rolled like boxcars on the Mangor Squig, and then you rolled another big charge, and you reached in with like a 3-inch attack and was able to hit my support hero so I couldn't fight first. And then you just laid into him, and I got like every hit through. It was so many trolls all at once, and I ended up not really hurting you back.
Now, with those trolls, now you said they lack numbers. Now you could obviously use the Grots or whatever, but you're trying to go pure Trogoths, right?
Yeah. You know what? I just really don't like Grots. And so
okay,
I
don't either.
Yeah. So I've tried to work in Boinding Bounders, you know, two squads of 10 of those. Rob mentioned the Mangler Squids, which is just awesome because I roll terribly. So, you know, if you're not familiar with Mangler Squigs, they start out, you know, their damage profile or full strength. midway through the damage profile, they're, you know, debuffed all the way down, but then as they get closer to when they get die, they go back up to full strength again. So, so the more damage you do to them, you know, the more, you know, at the end of it, they can kind of pull it back through. So,
I just
even with 10, even with two units of 20 bounders, I just couldn't really, just couldn't do it. So, but I've been playing Rob too, so that's kind of, it's kind of hard to be Rob. So.
Yeah, Rob the local bully. Yeah.
Well, I was practicing at that time. Now I like friendly games more. I don't have any events coming up.
Out of all the myriad of armies you own, and maybe if you remember some more, what's your favorite army to play right now?
You know, that's a good question. You know, I like the big WA. It has some good dynamics to it. There's some fundamental flaws in it. I've been playing some Savage Works in there. Two big blocks, a big block of Savage Works with Stickas of 30 man, and a 30 man blob of the Shootas, the Sticka, the Arrow Boys. And you know, they're fun to play with. They really are. But you know, I'm really starting to really like the Bone Reapers a little bit too. You know, I got them because I wanted something that was a little more top tier army, just to try to play with them. It was kind of like an addiction to models. So yeah. I think, you know, I played a little bit on the Seraphon, and their new rules are really interesting too. So
okay,
yeah. So I kind of big WA probably, I would say, to answer your question.
All right, cool. Yeah, Bone Reapers always seem cool to me. They're not really my cup of tea though when it comes to Death Armies. I kind of like the and this is going to sound weird because I don't like Horde armies in 40K, but in Age of Sigmar, I would like the Skeleton Horde type of Death Army if I was to run one.
Like Box of 40, just
just drowning zombies.
But
yeah,
you get more and more, you get like more crappy quality of skeletons under Legions and Gash.
Yeah, but if I play Bone Reapers and lose, I have nobody to blame but myself. If I play skeletons and lose, I can blame the army.
True.
So
I notoriously roll bad, so the Bone Reapers are pretty sturdy in the allowing rerolls and the death save and stuff. So
yeah
they're like space that. Marines. Yeah. Space now,
which army do you think gives Rob the best game?
Him playing it or me playing against him?
You playing against him. Which one do you think you could beat him with?
Oh jeez, none. I think if I hit him over the head first, maybe I have a better chance of beating him.
Well, it depends what I take. I haven't played Fire Slayers in months, a couple months. So
yeah,
I'm trying other things. So it really depends. I try and play something a little different. I try and play a different army or a different list every time, just so I can try ideas too. And they make for some pretty good games. Not too many have been blowouts, but which one do you think? Which one do you think, John?
Of the armies that you played recently?
No, against me. Like, which one do you think was doing better? Bone Reapers or Big WA?
Probably Bone Reapers, I think, have a better piece of it now that I'm knowing how to play them a little bit better. Big WA has some movement issues as well, because, you know, they have a base move of 5 for the Savage and 4 for everybody else. So unless I get my, my pigs, my Gore Grunt is up on the field there, you know, it's hard to take some of those objectives. And Bone Reapers are really slow too, so it's. I think the Bone Reapers will probably give you a better matchup. So
I think so too. When we were talking about the horses after our last game on Tabletop Simulator, so we don't get arrested here. No, just kidding. Anyway, but yeah, I just being able to move that fast with that many wounds that don't die very easy. I mean, if you're against like a mortal wound army, I can definitely see there being an issue, but I don't see too many mortal wound splash armies out there. Aside from, I guess people even really don't take pole axes with Fire Slayers too much that I see. But I would actually say the ogres, I think when people charge in, they do the mortal wounds. And I'm really trying to think. What does a lot of mortal wounds right now?
Well, I mean, you know, the charge of the Mogers, the Maul tribes, I'd like to see that against your Fry Slayers, just to see if they get the charge off. You know, and if you can use the ravens, the what do you call them, the blood vultures, to hit one of your supporting heroes that might, mm-hmm. you know, that might be able to do some weakness there. You have to get some lucky rolls to get in there, but...
Yeah, I guess, yeah, Fire Slayers against Beast Claw or Ogres would be interesting, but the issue with Fire Slayers, like, and it, that's what happened in every game, was that you have some way to fight first. And with the FAQ they came out with before, it was changed to that any combat phase ability to have you fight at the start of the combat phase supersedes any previous phase ability that makes you fight at the end of the combat phase. So basically, you don't cancel it anymore, you overwrite it, and it triggers in the combat phase. So it's much more powerful now than it used to be. So, I mean, if you're sitting there with command points, I mean, you're burning them. That's just what happens.
So have you played against Lanesh with your Fry Slayers?
Yes.
How'd you do?
I've only done it a couple times, and they demolished the Slanesh.
Yeah, because I think the reason I say that is because the greater demons obviously have the fight, you know, 2+ fight mm-hmm. last. So how does that? Mm-hmm. So you go first anyways on your turns then?
If I use a command point, yeah. Because what would happen was, you know, I was playing against Dan, and then I guess I played like when the other John came over, we did one. But you know, when we were trying stuff out when Slanesh first came out, and then when it was in FAQ, it was pretty good still. Basically, it was a charge phase ability. It's at the end of the charge phase that they trigger a unit to fight at the end of the combat phase. So the combat phase rolls around. I use my command ability to fight at the start of the combat phase, and it triggers me to fight anyway. But my regular attack happens at the end of the combat phase. But I still get that one activation in with the Hearth Guard or whatever unit I choose to do. I mean, I've taken lists with the Volkite Berserkers, but 2-inch reach on the Hearth Guards and just spam them. So I was doing that, and it was just chewing up the Keeper's Secrets or whatever they would throw into them. And the other issue was that in order for them to stop that, Slanesh isn't known for their ranged attacks, so they weren't really able to reach past all the beards and grab the hero. So it was just... Plus, you know how it is with Fire Slayers. On a 4+, you just negate the wound.
Yeah.
So
yeah, trust
whatever
me,
save, and you can stack saves. Like most armies, you can't stack saves. This one, you can easily get like +2, +3 to save on all your dwarfs, your block, and then combine that with a 4+ wound ignore. They could throw 30 wounds into you, and you can just have them.
Now, how do you feel about that change to being able to negate like fighting last? Do you think that was a good move? Do you think that was a bad move? Or are you indifferent?
It's hard to say, just because I feel like they did it purposely just to you know, screw up Slanesh, because mm-hmm. Slanesh was like top tables all over the place, and it was just too overpowering for other armies. But then it, on the downside, it affected armies that rely on that in like a spell, like in the hero phase. So the Slaves of Darkness spell that makes a unit fight at the end of the combat phase can be negated. The Beast of Chaos, their endless spell, Balefire Taurus, the Wildfire Taurus, makes a unit fight last. Anything like that, it's a little bit trickier. So they inadvertently step on the toes of other armies too.
Yeah, the Tree Lords and the Silent Army can stomp on
now,
a plus.
The Tree Lords, theirs is at the start of the combat phase. So that's actually a pretty good way of making a unit fight at the end. But then again, if it's their turn, their start of the combat phase abilities supersede yours in the sequence. So, I mean, it was good because it took so much down a peg, and they add the +1 to the roll requirement. But in a couple little things, it made a little bit of an issue.
Okay, so all in all, it wasn't too bad. Now, you play a lot of Fire Slayers, but you've also been playing a different dwarf army lately. You've been playing a lot of KO. Why don't you tell me what you've been thinking about the Caradhran Overlords?
Yeah, I've been playing against John with a couple Caradhran armies. In the past two, and then other John, him and I, like months ago, we were on a kick for a couple weeks where like we were playing like every other day, and we were just, let's try this, let's try that. And basically, it's the line is pretty limited, but taking the Iron Iron Sky Command Squadron to lower the drop count and include a battle line unit in there, then Endrin Riggers, and then a bit more Arcanauts. Take the Ironclad, load it up with some Thunderers and a couple Heroes. We're kind of up in the air about Skyports, but we were thinking the Mornar Skyport, Eric Mornar, because they have the staff that does the half charges. You trigger that at the start of the charge phase. They have the ability to advance and shoot first turn. Your first turn, so it can be in the round, so if somebody else goes first, you can still do it, which is good for the mobility, because the flying high and pulling stuff with you, that can get negated on your behemoths, like your frigate and your ironclad, by getting too many wounds on you. So that first turn, if you get shot or you get hit, but you still survive, you can still advance up a little bit and maybe get closer than you normally would. Because the issue is that people can zone out your setup. So
yeah,
you remove it from the board, you set it up outside of 9 of a unit. The other issue is there are different battalions, like the one, the Iron Sky Attack Squadron or whatever. It's a good skyport for that too, because you can advance, shoot, and disembark. You can disembark after you move, but if you fly high to try and get somewhere, you can't disembark. It doesn't count as movement.
Okay.
I don't think about that wrong.
Yeah, I know.
For the battalion, it says after they make a move. And this says instead of making a normal move, you can disembark. So you can't pull like a goofy teleport, disembark, 3d6 charge trick. But yeah, that's basically what we're doing. Flare pistol for the Omni Wide Angles. How did that go today, John?
I think, yeah, exactly. Yeah, he locked down the gash because he couldn't move anywhere. And then he did a flare pistol, which is re-rolling hits and those kind of things. But
yeah, I unloaded. How many Endrin Riggers did I take? 18? 18 Endrin Riggers, 3 frigates, all into 15 of your Death Riders. And I think I killed 2 or 3.
Yeah.
And I had full reroll hits. I had reroll hits.
Oh, geez,
3 plus, reroll 1's to save. Okay. And I negated on a 6. Oops, I negated 2.
Yeah.
I was frustrated at John's dice. I wasn't frustrated with him.
Chaos is one of those things that they can really take advantage of some of the battle plans too. We played Scorched Earth not too long ago. We have, you know, 4 objectives in your territory, 4 in mine, and you have to kind of hold them because KO can just jump into the back line. And that kind of stopped my big wall when I was playing against you. You know, I couldn't move. I wanted to keep you off my back objectives, and then it just, you know, it's hard when you have such an army.
If I kill a scoring unit, you have to move up. And I was 40, it's not 40k or 30k. I'm just saying, like, a unit that you're going to use to get in my face, if I tamp that down a little bit, or your back one, like what I was doing is I was letting your horde come forward, your guys and stabbers, and I'm just shooting past you and trying to kill your other side and move up to the back to try and get yours. Then, you know, then it just became partway through the game, you're like, you know what, it's a race for the other person's objectives.
Yep. I had to keep my arrow boys in the back. I had to keep my arrow boys spread across the back 2 objectives, which is they have an 18-inch range, which you kept pretty far out of their shooting range at the time. So I couldn't. They were kind of like ineffective in the back, just sitting there holding objectives, and I had to decide at some point to move them forward.
Yeah, because I killed your heroes,
right.
So you couldn't deny, so you couldn't bypass the battle shock test, and then I just unloaded into the arrow boys, and was hoping you'd lose models from that, just because the bravery is low. You know, give low bravery.
Yep.
KO definitely seems like a scalpel type army, very finessed.
Yeah, I definitely have to say, out of all the armies I've played since Age of Sigmar has been out, you know, in person, proxy, or tabletop simulator, they're definitely challenging. But challenging not because they're underpowered, I don't know, maybe a little bit, but challenging in that it's unconventional mechanics. And, you have to, it's all about positioning.
Yeah, Selenath is like that too. You need to be very good about positioning. Yeah.
I know John K is on a mission to make them work. I got to separate the Johns because we have 2 Johns that we play with, John S and John K. John K is kind of the resident KO player, at least he will be. But I know he's been trying to make Zahn work. He keeps mentioning trying to get Zahn. He wants to play them next.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he's brewing right now, but me and him have to get a game in at some point. I got to dust off the Slaves of Darkness.
Yeah, definitely. I think You guys need a rematch. That's what we need.
Yeah.
You two need a rematch. Play against John's new list. See how. I want to see how it goes. No, seriously, I think it'd be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, what we really should start doing, honestly, is you and John, when you guys, either John, it doesn't matter. We got to start. If you play on Tabletop Simulator, I could just record it on Twitch and then upload it to YouTube. I mean, I'm sure people, it's a good chance. I mean, it's slowed down on Tabletop Simulator, so the games take longer, but it leaves a lot of room for you to kind of explain tactics as you play. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess so, because it's cool because there's a lot of unconventional things you can try. Like,
yeah.
John, I know you like lower model count too, for the most part, right?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because I was trying the Legion of Blood against you. That was pretty fun.
It doesn't really change anything that you guys do, because I could just pop in as a spectator and just record, so.
Yeah, I think it would just be mostly us watching it on YouTube anyway, but.
Yeah, well, you know.
I don't know. I think the Tabletop Simulator, you know, playing, it really helps if you're trying to learn an army, because the one mod that we're playing, one table, you can assign auras around your guys. So you can, you know, just click a button and see 12 inches around them. Like if you're wholly within, and it really helps you kind of position better and understand, this guy's in, this guy's out, those kind of things. Tabletop Simulator's really helped me kind of in that area.
Yeah, plus right. we can talk about it. You can see it, it's visual. And then, yeah, it just in general, it's also good because you live probably like an hour away, 45 minutes? What do you? Yeah, you probably 45
minutes. Yeah, about 45
minutes, away,
minutes
so,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we can meet up at a store, but I'm always late by a little bit. And then we got to set up, and then the games can be over. Sometimes it's loud. But I don't think it's a better than playing in person by any means, but I definitely think it's good practice. I mean, there's times like when I first started playing Age of Sigmar, like nobody around here played it. I had a group of friends up in New York that I'd play with, where I'm originally from, and when I travel up there. And other than that, I had one partner down here, and we both played like one army. So playing online with people with different armies, it really helped. And I definitely think it's definitely a tool that helped me. And they're not paying me for advertising. I just think it's definitely a good tool.
Yeah, I mean, the online thing definitely helps. It's good to get a quick game in when you need it. I mean, nothing's worse than traveling an hour to go play a game in person and then getting raffle stomped in one or two rounds. And then, you traveled all that way to get your teeth kicked in. I mean,
my worst experience with that is I went to Triumph GT last year just to give it a try. You know, it's about an hour, you know, it's a weekend thing. So I, you know, rented a hotel, went down there, you know, first game, put my Sunlith on the board, which I spent a lot of time painting. Guy I played against with a Sunlith army with like three keepers. First time I ever played them. Book just came out like a month before that. They literally turned two, the guy walked across the board and just slaughtered my entire list. Beginning of turn two, it was like nothing.
Oh man.
And I was like, oh, that's not a good start at all. kind of deflated me for the whole weekend.
Yeah, but you did win an award, so.
I did. I came in last, so I got this wooden spoon. I got my entry fee back. So, yeah. I did win the award.
That's better. You got your entry fee back than you won more than, like, most other people would win playing, so.
Well, here's the caveat to that, right? So, I got the entry fee back, but it was in a gift certificate to their Mythos store. So, I had to buy something from them, which isn't a big deal. I just brought more. I brought more trolls, Trogoths.
Yeah.
I would just spam Rockcut because I love the new kit. I mean, the Fellwaters are cool, but just that extra ability to just negate a wound on a 5+ seems pretty cool. Plus, static 3 damage attacks with 2 rend. I'm definitely a fan of that.
Well, they have that rock throwing ability, which is really cool because it's not a shooting attack. It happens in a shooting phase.
If
you got 6, yeah, you just roll it. If you roll under the unit size, you do, I think, D3 more wounds.
I think it's if you roll under your unit size.
Right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, so like if you have 6, you just do D3 more wounds. So it's that extra little bit of ranged.
Yep. And they can't do Lookout Surd or anything because it's not a shooting attack. It's just throwing a rock. So.
It's like that thing you did to me with when you played me with Beast Claw Raiders that one time. You kept shooting at the gash with the mortal wounds, and I'm like, God damn it! None of my abilities are working because it's not technically a shooting attack. But it's It's a ranged ability that happens in the shooting phase. Stupid.
Yeah, it was the frost wreath ice that's what killed Archaon. Is I'm like, yeah. Well, I rolled 12 dice, and I guess every 6 is a mortal wound. I rolled like 5 6s, and you failed them all, and you're like, ugh. Yeah, that was the six beast list. That was that's always a pretty interesting one to run.
Yeah, Archaon was doing okay that game until then, but he needs a little bit of help, which actually segues me nicely into the next question I want to ask you guys, because it should be coming around pretty soon, and I'll start with you, John, since you're our guest today. You get to go first. The new General's Handbook should be coming out pretty soon. What would you like to see for all of your armies that you have? What are like the major things you'd like to see in the new General's Handbook?
Oh, that's a good question. I'd like to probably see some points adjustments downward on some of the Slaaneth army. Some of them just to be make them a little more competitive in the landscape. You know, it's one of those things. I was really excited for the new book to come out because I really love the aesthetic of the army, but it just I can't get them on the table without getting my ass kicked. And maybe it's just me because of the general. I'll blame myself for that too. But I think that I'd like to see some balance from. I haven't played against Tajik yet, but when you do, when you see anything that's winning 60% of their games. You know, from games reported, that's the same we were talking about Slaanesh lists. So I think the one thing AOS has within itself, it has its own problems, but it is relatively a balanced system. You know, when they bring out the power creep like that, it really can start putting a negative spin on the game. Start really realizing that they're a model company making a game, they're trying to sell models and those kind of things. But I think I'd like to see some of that. I'd like to see, you know, if they did something, this is a little controversial, I'm just coming up to this, but they have some kind of a, you know, draft rule where they could try it out and things that makes the double turn a little bit more, you know, for the player making the choice, it gave them a little bit more balance on whether, maybe if I go first or second. Right now, it's pretty much everyone's going to go first, unless there's a huge amount of endless spells on the table. So. No? You don't think so?
No, because...
Well, it's my turn to talk, so... No,
yeah, yeah, you wait your turn.
I just had internet. Sorry.
We'll take
rebuttals.
My hot coffee. No, keep going at it.
Yeah, but I think that's probably it. I'm really interested to see how they do the points and points adjustments. I really hope they nerf Rye Slayer so I don't have to play Rob's list anymore. But other than that, I think, you know, that's more of a personal wish on my side. If I will tell you that there is in the Gloomspike guest, they have a Trogoth herd, and it's just a crap. It's a crap battalion. But if you field it, then you get everything on the table, and it's 180 points. What it does is if you score a wound, then you get an extra damage added to it, which, you know, doesn't really do a whole lot there. So if they did something where they reduced the points of that and did a Molotrobs type of thing. If, you know, a certain model count equals a certain amount of, you know, a certain wound count equals a certain amount of models or something like that, where you could field a full Trogoth army, that would be my huge wish. That would be awesome. Because I really love the models and I'd really like to put them on the table. It's just, you know, I don't see it. So
you want Trogoth changes across the board?
Yeah. I mean, they did. They lowered the points last year. They lowered them down. They got them a little more. I could put more in the list, but... You know, there's the battalion form sucks, and you really just have to start putting in other models to make them competitive. So,
now, which army do you think needs to be adjusted the most, whether it be up or down?
Well, any kind of, like I said, one of the top tier ones have to be the Slaanesh and the Tajik have to be, you know, looked at, and then, you know, I think the again, Slaaneth needs to come up a little bit. I think. I've seen some really interesting builds across City of Sigmar, so I don't think that they need anything. Big Walk, I think, can hold on its own. Maybe a little bit of points there, adjustment in the Iron Jaws area to make them, you know, downward to give them a little bit more on the table. Because they struggle too when you just run a pure Iron Jaws list. You know, if you're not really buffing the right way, your Ard Boys can get really kind of wiped off the table, and that's really your ones that are whole objectives. But so
that
I would say that
like a weird spot though, like point adjustments. I don't know. That's odd. Sorry, that's all I had to say. I'll wait for my
turn. What's your opinion? Go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
Well, yeah, now it's your turn, Rob.
Yeah, now, Rob. Now you can speak.
No, I'm just saying, I think that the mechanics between each army are so different that in terms of how they kill or how they move or do all these janky things, I think that going first isn't always a good idea for ranged armies because your first turn is going to most likely be ineffective and there's a chance that you could be double turned. It depends on the scenario too. Like case in point, Caradrons, you don't necessarily really want to go first because there's a chance that you could get double turned and you're not really built around having screens that can hold out for that long. So you can easily get swamped or have key units get tied up. Same thing with Chaos Dwarfs. But the other thing was the points changes. It seems like it'd be difficult because they have to look, it's not like 40k where, oh, well, this is like a flyer and this is a shooter with strength 9 with decent AP, or this is a unit with this many wounds and an invuln. Each army can operate very differently, so it's not necessarily the point value compared to the mechanics and the threshold, like to, you know, at what point am I not going to take this, but take something else from the other limited line that you have. Within that allegiance, like Fire Slayers, you have 2 combat units and 1 shooting unit. You have 3 units. If you nerf one too hard, then you go to the other, and then you don't really have much more wound output to compete with anything with high defense. So you'd have to find a way around it. It's a real tricky balance. I think some of the top tier armies should have their mechanics changed a little bit instead of the points adjustments. Because in terms of the points, I think things were pretty balanced at LVO for the most part.
Yeah.
Right, but you could go either way, right? I mean, you either do a mechanics adjustment or you do a points adjustment to make mechanic more expensive, right?
That's what's gonna come out. I mean, when Caradron was good for like 1 month when they first came out, there was like, or maybe 2 months, there was like a real quick FAQ that came out to fix everything for the Thunderers so you can't spam the same weapon. So they fixed that, and then they released it in the Next General's Handbook a couple years ago, 3 years ago, whatever the heck it was, but...
Slaves of Darkness kind of got the same treatment. They weren't even good for a month. They got FAQ'd almost immediately, and their best build got nerfed.
Like, General's Handbook usually doesn't change your allegiance or your battle tome. Like, an FAQ can make little changes here and there, but very rarely you see like sweeping changes to a big mechanic at the General's Handbook. Sometimes little things here, but it's not like you're going to see the Fire Slayers like, oh, change your command ability to do this.
So I was talking, Rob, a little bit more past turn one with the deciding if you get, you know, you roll dice, you get priority, you decide whether you want to go first or second on your second turn, third turn, fourth turn, whatever. In that type of instance, what would you think if you got the priority roll, but if you went second, then you get an extra CP, for instance, or something like that? Has like a decided
factor. I think that'd be an interesting trade-off. I think they should incentivize going second more. So I can talk about the incentivizing going second.
Yeah,
I think a command point is good. I mean, they tried to incentivize going second and not taking priority with endless spells. It's like, oh, okay, so what if you take the double turn, somebody else can move your spell? Well, now they have stuff where you can't move that spell if you have a certain army. If they have a certain army, they casted it. And then the other thing was that, some armies don't take them. It's not enough.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't mind, after playing 40k a bit, if you rolled off and one person chooses to go first or second. This way, you don't necessarily know in advance, hey, I'm going to build for super low drops so that I can, you know, steal first from everybody. It would drastically change list building, but you would have to make your list effective whether you go first or second. You always have to have a plan. And, you know, that's why I like Age of Sigmar, is that you always have to keep the double turn in mind. And armies that can't deal with getting double turned have to try and build for a low drop count so that they can give the other person first. But that's not always reliable. I mean,
I think you bring up a good point.
If you have a 2 or 3 drop, you're pretty much going to get it. 4 drop at LVO, nobody outdropped me. I had a 4. One other person had a 4. and I won the role. So it was just, what are you saying?
Yeah. Jim? I think you bring up a good point in that I think it should always be a roll-off in the beginning of the game. That way you can't, I think it'll open up list building too, because you're not always trying to jam everything into a battalion. You're not always trying to maxim or minimize your drops. If it's to a roll-off, I mean, you can't also, you have to be cagey with your deployment. So it gives you more to think about before the game. And I think that would be better if it was just always a roll-off. And yeah. There was a little more incentivizing to go second. I think that would do a lot to fix the game. Because I know a lot of people that either just started Age of Sigmar or still are looking at it from the outside. A lot of people like the models. Like, GW's been knocking the models out of the park for Age of Sigmar, except these new elves. I hate them. But we could get onto that another time. The double turns really turns a lot of people off. And I feel like that's only because they'll try a game. They'll try, like, one game as a starter. And then they'll get double turned. And it gives them a bad case of the feel bads. And then they just are completely turned off after that. So it's difficult. It's difficult to say because I've gotten used to the double turn mechanic. I've given the game enough time to let it not so much grow on me because I still don't particularly like it, but I've gotten used to it. But I could definitely see how it would turn away new players. It's hard because it's a core mechanic of the game. And I don't think you could just remove it, but yeah. So I don't know what you guys think.
Honestly, I'm with you. You know, I think that the mechanic is there. It's fine. You know, it's fun when you're double turning, but when you get double when you get double turned by an army like Fry Slayers or someone that can really put out a lot of damage in one turn, getting double turned from that, I've gotten, you know, Flesh Eater Courts, you know, with what's the one, Rob, that.
With those Terrorgeists or whatever.
The Terrorgeists, but then they can attack twice.
They get the extra command point. They get an extra command point, so then, you know, they're like, oh, I get a command point and this turn, so now I can double attack you again.
So you have basically a Zombie Dragon attacking like four times against one unit. It's just like,
You end up doing with like plus D3 attacks each, and you end up doing like 20-something mortal wounds, 30 mortal wounds.
Yeah, I feel like it's kind of like what I said. I feel like there's a lot of times where the double turn mechanic feels like people who defend it will say it's tactical, and I get it. And maybe, you know, on the average, it doesn't bother people. But the times it does, it makes you feel really bad. So I feel like there's plenty of people that could tolerate it. And then there's just on the other end of the spectrum, it just absolutely just destroys people. And there's no kind of hard positive. There's only like neutral and tolerant or really negative. So I don't really know how to fix it. I don't know what to add to it to really get people excited about it. I know my biggest gripe with it isn't even so much, it's just so much that the opponent gets to attack me again. It's the fact that I'm not playing for like two turns until the charge phase comes back around, or, you know, and
yeah, I don't care about that. Some armies though, like Caradhron, you really, or a mobile army, that's like I said, there's some armies where you're an attrition army, you want to get there and weather the storm and score early. When you do that, you want to get your doubles in. Or you don't want to get doubled. Because if you're on the objectives and you get a double, you get two turns of like max points, which is great. And sometimes it's too much to come back from.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's like I said, it's a hard thing to really to think about because it's really such a core mechanic to the game itself. So I don't know. I know John said he agrees with me somewhat, but I don't know what we can do about it.
I've had some close games at events and stuff where I lost barely, and it was because they gave up the double turn and gave it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because they had planned for what if I don't get the double turn. So they had a strong backup plan, and due to positioning, they're like, you know what? I'll give it to them. Or if it's like relocation orb, if it's, I think it's about 1 point, but if you score it at the end of the round in your turn and you went second, you get 3 points. So there are certain times where it definitely, you can't just look at it like a standard scenario. They go, well, you know, it's simple total commitment or knife to the heart, or it's simple, actually, knife to the heart is terrible because with the double turn, you get double turned with that, and you just can automatically lose.
Yeah.
Well, like I said, as long as they add something to make it worthwhile for someone who's in the second or third turn who got the priority to go, okay, well, maybe I should go second because, you know, if they get a CP, you get a triumph or, you know, and then they add some additional skills, additional things like in the last General's Hair book where you can, you know, the kind of the universal CP type abilities. Maybe it's like, you know, move 4 inches in your hero phase by spending a CP or something like that. That could really offset some of the, you know, if you get a bunch of units destroyed, you get a triumph or something else that you can then utilize to help bring it back into the game a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
I know there's been games for me where even just if it was normal turn order, there would be a game there. But the fact that the double turn came in just absolutely ruined everything. So it's not even like I was asking for the double turn. I just wanted the game to go normal.
Right.
But just the fact that it didn't go normal just fucking destroyed me. So it's, I don't know.
I think the more I play Age of Sigmar over and over again, for like all these years or since it came out, it's just something you get used to and it's part of the game and you build around it. And I think some people who don't like it maybe haven't had it work in their favor as much as not, but it's definitely something to keep in the back of your mind, because from seeing 40K, a lot of times people have, you know, here's where the line of sight blocking terrain is, I have these secondaries, this is what the bonus objectives are, my list, I go first, I move here. You know, it's alternating, it's formulaic a bit.
Yeah.
Age of Sigmar, they throw a wrench into it, and they're like, well, now it's not as formulaic, because Age of Sigmar has a lot of simple mechanics. So if you don't throw something in there, it can become real stale. Like, oops,
yeah.
I didn't get first turn against Fire Slayers. Or Fire Slayers go first, I automatically lose. Or, you know, it's going to alternate. Shooting armies wouldn't do so well.
Yeah, that's true. Like I said, I understand it's here to stay. Obviously, you can't rip it out. It's too core of a mechanic. So I'm with John on this one. I just think it needs a little something to spice it up. Just to make it more of a decision, because right now it's just, I don't know, it's a little too much. It's a little too much. So, yeah. Now, I guess I'll weigh in a little bit on the General's Handbook thing. I want my Nurgle battalion back. So, GW, if you can FAQ that back to what it originally was, that'd be great.
You still have it.
Yeah, well, I want it what it originally was, when I could do a bunch of mortal wounds for you attacking my 30 or 40 Nurgle Marauders. I want to be able to do like 50 mortal wounds back to you, because that was fun. Now it's only D3, and I don't like that very much. And I would like you to return that to me. Thank you. So that's my request.
Players, they're like a super easy army. You just like, it's the same thing, except instead of doing damage back by getting hit, you fight first.
But no, really. My realistic expectation is, I think there's two things I want to see, and I'm just going to talk about my main army, Slaves of Darkness. I would like to see Varengard go down in points. They don't need a lot. And they're pretty good, but I don't think they're 300 points good. They're very squishy. They don't have a Feel No Pain. They're only a 3-up save.
They don't even have a mortal wound save. It's only spells, right?
Yeah, it's only spells. So it's like, yeah, they don't have anything. They're very easy to get rid of for 300 points. And I mean, because there's no like strength and toughness in this game, just anything's wounding them on whatever, so they're not really all that hard to kill. Anything with any amount of rend is just going to mow through Varengard. So
what is the point target that you would look at to say, okay, yeah, they're like an auto include in my army then?
I don't include probably 240, but I could see 240. Them down to 260.
240, yeah, 240 was the number I was going to go with. I would like to see them down to 240.
I can see 260. 260 seems reasonable.
Let's split the difference and say 250.
So was it like five models for 300, or what's the?
It's three models for 300.
Three models for 300. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and they only got five or six wounds apiece. Three up save, no mortal wound save, no feel no pain. They have a ignore spell effects on a five up. That's it. So it's a tough sell. Like, they could do a lot of damage, but here's the kicker too. Like, Rob's normal Fire Slayers guys at least have two damage weapons. Every Varen Guard is the equivalent of a Chaos Lord under Archaon, and their main weapons that they use are only damage one. Their spears can be damage two on the charge. Their weapons are too weak for what they are, and they don't have any real defense to speak of. I personally think Varen Guard need an entire rework, because I think they're a little too weak. At their regular damage one weapon area, they'd be okay at 250. But, I mean, they get the plus one damage from the circle. But, you only get that circle, though, now. Like, there's no reason to take any other circle. So, the only way to make Varen Guard at least passable is to take them in the sixth circle with Archaon and be done with it. Archaon, I think, is way too expensive for what he does. He's like 800 some odd points right now. I think in order to be playable, he would have to go down to like 680, personally. Yeah, that's probably where I'm at with him. Everything else on him is fine. I think his abilities are fine. He just needs to go down in points, because he's just way too much. Being able to fit him and more Varen Guard into a list might make things okay. But yeah, he needs like a solid 150 points chopped off of him to make him really tabletop ready, because really the only time he sees the table right now is with like Blades of Khorne armies or Tzeentch armies. He's not even played with Slaves of Darkness. He's played as part of some Khorne army or Tzeentch army just because of his keyword. So, and yeah, I mean, Slaves of Darkness has some really good
stuff. That lets you fight twice, right?
Yeah. And it's really good. I mean, it used to be that they FAQ'd that too. It used to be that if Archaon fought twice, the way the Slayer of Kings was worded, if out of those two fights he rolled two sixes, your guy would auto die. I do think that needed to be FAQ'd, so I'm glad it did happen. But it used to be really good. Now fighting twice just kind of gives you two chances at it. But yeah, he needs a little bit of help. So I'd like to see him. He's like the big bad of Age of Sigmar, so it'd be nice to see him kind of be as good as like your Nagash, because Nagash sees play. I don't know if Alariel sees play.
She got nerfed, and she got kind of, I don't know, it's the jury's still out on the last battle tomb whether she got nerfed or not. They did change some of her pieces. I've seen people use them, but last book there was a lot of people who thought she was almost an auto include.
Yeah.
In their list, and now I don't see that as much.
I played against her in Living City, because you can move, you can shoot, and then if you're so far away from a unit, you can move again after you shot the command point. So you would just stay right outside of that 9 inches or 8 inches or whatever the limitation was, and then you would shoot your shooting attack. Didn't matter if it hit or anything, she has that spear. Then you just get to move again 3 inches away from somewhere or fly over the line or do whatever. And
yeah.
Then she's in your face, and she just moved like 30 inches that turn.
Okay, so she sees some play. I mean, I guess Archaon does too, but I'd like to see him see play with Varen Guard, because I'd like to use him as part of my battle tome. But besides that, the other change I would like to see is I think Marauders need a little bit of an adjustment, because right now there's no reason to run anything but Marauders. I would like to see Warriors go down probably about, I would say, 10 or 20 points per five, and Marauders go up probably the same amount, to kind of give you more of a reason to run Warriors, because if you run a certain setup, your Marauders are practically just as survivable as your Warriors, with just as, well, actually more attacks, because the unit size is bigger. You get a lot more attacks, a lot more bodies, you can teleport them around. It's just too easy to take Marauders and not have to think about anything else. So I would like to see an adjustment there to open up more of the book.
I think it's interesting that you see how well some of the books are written when you have multiple builds that are viable in some of the books. You know, I think that, you know, when you look at Fry Slayers, you basically have one competitive build, you know, but some of the other ones, you know, some of the other books have some, you know, viable ones depending on how you bring them out. Bone Reapers have, I've played two lists now that I thought were pretty viable, you know, at least on a tournament scene or even during casual play. So hopefully they can adjust
horses
that.
Horses or foot troops, right?
What's that?
I said either bring horses or bring the foot troops.
Right.
Yeah, it seems pretty decent. And yeah, that's right. Usually there's a couple books, but lately it seems like they're taking the old armies and compiling them to, like, I call them the soup books, like Cities of Sigmar or Ogrimmar Tribes. And I think out of those books, you get so many combinations. And I think that, you know, with the internet, you have some that become popular and then everyone says, oh, that's real good. One case in point is with Legion of Asgore that I've been playing since the rules came out, was like, everyone's like, oh, you got to take 12 of those Kadai Fireborn after the last update for the compendium back 2018, excuse me, because you could take them in Massive Regiment for a discount. So everyone's like, you got to take them, there's so many attacks, and you put stack rerolls on them and this and that. But more stuff came out, and it did just as well as a shooting list, because I remember, you know, at events I did, the shooting list did decent at CanCon, the best list that took them didn't have 12, and with what I recall, I think they had even 6. So it's not like buffing that Death Star is the way to go, but what happens is it's like an echo chamber. Goes, yeah, I heard it's the right thing to do, and I think that a lot of people do that with armies. Because it's
yeah.
Hobby. I mean, are you going to go out and buy something and try something goofy that you don't think will work or only works on paper?
Yeah. I mean, people essentially use the internet as guinea pigs so they know what to buy. I mean, I get it to a degree. I mean, there's only so much you can do. Models are expensive, so net listing becomes popular because it saves you money in the long run. But on the other hand, the meta changes so often that you might as well just buy everything anyway because you never know when it's going to rotate.
The meta is there because of the net listing. I mean, if people didn't stick to the same net list all the time, there wouldn't be such a meta. It's that defined by that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we had
too much paper.
Yeah, it's true. I think we had a pretty good discussion today. I mean, we got a good bit of information on your guys' games and kind of what to look forward to for the General's Handbook. Do any of you have any final thoughts you want to add to the day? Rob?
No, just got to keep, I got to paint more.
John, any
last
thoughts?
Just excited to get back and start playing in person and get some of my armies painted and on the table. So I'm excited to see that when that could be all get back into all this virus stuff goes away and we can get back in and playing again.
Awesome. Rob, any rebuttals to John?
Nope. I hope he beats me in person too.
We all hope we beat Rob.
I beat Rob once when the game first came out, so I'm still champion.
There you go.
When I tripped and fell and hit my head on the table. No, I'm kidding.
Yep.
Yeah, win's a win.
Yep.
All right. Well, that was this week's episode of Cold Country Wargaming. I want to thank you all for coming out and listening to us chat about Warhammer. I hope you all stay safe out there with the virus going on and all that. And I hope you all get back to wargaming soon. See you and have a good week.